Fandom. With your host, Jesse Lawson.
Hey, Wrestling Fandom Podcast listeners. If you enjoy the Wrestling Fandom Podcast, you'll love Tackle Drop Down Podcast, hosted by Danger Dean and JD Mason. Comes out each and every Tuesday evening. Find it anywhere you find your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan, I got the most powerful right hand in the world because it's packed full of macho madness. And you, Buster Douglas, you better stay in line or I'll give you a thrill. Because if the right one don't get you, the left one will. Bam, bam. Oh, yeah. Dig it.
You're familiar with the rules of the WWF. You will be the inside referee, and Mr. Douglas, you will be the outside referee.
Okay, champ, it's no different than in Tokyo. Stay on the outside, stick to the plan. Don't get pushed around, not by Savage or not by Hogan. Call it like you see it, right down the middle. But if things get rough in there, then think of Mike Tyson and knock somebody out.
When you take the dynamite tactics of the Macho King, Randy Savage, and the TNT punching power of the undisputed World Heavyweight Boxing Champion, James Buster Douglas, and add it with the super nitro power of the World Wrestling Federation Champion, the Hulkster, something's gonna explode!
Welcome to Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yeah, no. as y'all heard, the intro for this podcast was the intro to Saturday Night's Main Event. The main event on February 23rd, 1990. Which was the first episode of any wrestling that I ever got to watch, and it was literally 7 days after I was born. I'm doing this. I went back and I listened to some old episodes. The first one, and I was using a really shitty recorder, so I figured, you know, with as busy as I've been this last week, why don't I just redo the first episode, since it's really hard to listen to, really hard to get through. So yeah, we're going to go down my wrestling trail, give you guys a piece of my history and with wrestling. It all started on that Saturday Night's Main Event, or the main event. Sorry, I'm going to probably keep referring to it as Saturday Night's Main Event out of force of habit. Like I said, I was born on the 16th of February, 1990. And this was the first show I ever watched. My mom told me when I was growing up, I asked her, "So what's the first show you think I ever seen?" And without missing a beat, my mom knew exactly which one it was. She was like, "Randy Savage versus Hulk Hogan with Buster Douglas." And I've always been fascinated with this main event for that, you know. She told me, you know, I came home, I had to stay in the hospital a few days. But I was brought home Thursday, and the very next day, my dad sat in his chair holding me, watching the main event, the build-up for WrestleMania 6. And that's when my fandom started. I was a week old, and that bug has never let go since. You know, it's so odd to think about it, that I've literally been watching wrestling for 30 years, legitimately my whole life. You know, you hear people talk about, oh, I started watching wrestling when I was 5, 6, 12, 14, whatever. But me, I came out and started watching wrestling. My parents were really big wrestling fans before I came along. My parents would go to all the shows that came to Spokane. They were just two big wrestling fans. They would take people in the family to the shows. Even ones in the family that didn't care for wrestling. My favorite story from my mom about that was taking my Uncle Fred. My Uncle Fred was a big dude, wide and tall. And his demeanor, because he had his mental problems, you know. And to protect himself, he used to put on this hard demeanor and would always have a, you know, rough exterior demeanor about him so people wouldn't mess with him and pick on him. And my mom told me a story about my mom and my dad taking my Uncle Fred to a show, and they had aisle seats. And when Andre the Giant came out, my Uncle Fred, like I said, he's a big, tall man and wide. He looked at my mom like he was a 3-year-old and was like, Andre's way bigger than me. You know, always hearing stories about my family going to wrestling shows, I loved hearing my mom tell me stories about it. You know, my whole life, like I said, you know, we've been watching wrestling together. That was my family bond from the time I was born. We didn't go to many shows because Spokane didn't get many shows. My first show was in 1992. The main event was Randy Savage versus Ric Flair for the WWF Championship. The only reason I got to go was because my mom broke her back. My mom broke her back working, so she was laid up. And my mom had a canny thing about her back in the 80s and early 90s. She would call radio stations that had tickets, you know, caller number 9 went 2 passes to the WWF. She would tell me for some weird reason, depending on what it was, whether she wanted, you know, the card, she would try and call and win tickets. She never did. except for twice. Once in 1987, I actually have pictures of this somewhere. If I can find them, I'll post them up on the socials. She won two tickets and backstage passes. And there is actually a photo that will always be burned into my brain. It's a picture of my mom and dad with my mom's favorite tag team of all time, the Killer Bees. Jumpin' Jim Brunzel and B. Brian Blair. And my mom, before the show, went and bought them, you know, them souvenir spoons with your city name on it and everything. My mom bought each of them a Spokane souvenir spoon. And they took a picture of all four of them with Jim and Brian holding it. And the last few years, thinking of that photo, I really want to recreate that photo. Of course, it won't be four. Probably just be me and Brian Blair. And I definitely want to go to the CAC in Vegas when all this crap clears up, just so I can recreate that photo. To me, that was that photo as a child. I was so jealous of my mom and dad because they actually got to meet wrestlers and hang out a little bit. Not really hang out and social, but you know, hang out as much as you could for, you know, someone who won backstage passes on a radio station back in the 80s when it was still very ultra kayfabe. And, you know, hearing stories about my mom and dad's journeys to wrestling shows was always very fascinating to me. But like I said, June 14th, 1992 was the first show I was able to attend live. I was a little over two. And like I said, my mom had broke her back working, and while she was laid up, she got tickets. She won tickets. But since my mom was laid up, the third ticket of the three she won went to me. That night, my dad and my cousin April took me to my very first show. And I don't know why, but I still vividly remember sitting there and seeing the ring. It's like the earliest memory I have. I don't remember any of the matches, watching any of them, but I do vividly remember sitting in the Coliseum watching. You know, and I would have to say that's probably when it really dug in, because that being my earliest memory I have in my life. After that, all I remember is nothing but wrestling. You know, less than a year later, the earliest vivid memory I have is watching WrestleMania 9 with my cousin Matt and my cousin Jason. I vividly remember us watching WrestleMania 9 on pay-per-view. And thinking about it, I think that's when my hatred for Hulk Hogan truly started. Because by 93, being three, Bret Hart was my guy. Bret Hart was always my guy. And then watching WrestleMania, we all know what happened at the end of WrestleMania. The first time Vince screwed Bret. You know, wrestling was something me, my dad, and my mom did together. That was like our thing. You know, in 96, after our arena was built, our new one, that's still here now, I finally went to my first show that I could vividly remember everything. In 1996, main event was Shawn Michaels versus Big Van Vader. It was part of the Attitude Adjustment Tour. I have since went back and recreated the poster, flyer for it. I could never find it anywhere, so I had to recreate it. But I will never forget going to that show. It was another big family outing. It was me, my mom, my dad, my Aunt Wendy, and her three kids. And we all went as a big family. And I'll never forget it. It was the first time I ever was on or went up to the rail. Vader almost hit us with a chair. He did the spot where Shawn outsmarted him and he rolled out, took a powder, went down the aisle, and there was this chair for one of the security guards sitting there by the rail, and Vader picked it up and threw it at the rail right at me and my cousin. At 6 years old, it was over. It was over. Honestly, I think that's truly when the bug bit. I'll never forget Shawn Michaels coming back down the aisle after the show, slapping hands. And I'm sorry. Just the memories it's bringing back. That was an awesome show. Awesome show. Seeing the likes of Sid Vicious up close, or Psycho Sid at the time, Owen Hart, the British Bulldog, Ahmed Johnson, Goldust. That night will always stick in my mind. Always. But unfortunately, less than a year later, I lost my father. My father was shot and killed by the Spokane Police Department. I was no more than 6 feet away from him. That was very difficult on me, obviously, being a child, seeing your father get killed in your living room. But one of the worst things about it was that was the end of wrestling for my mom. That was the thing. That was the thing that my parents bonded over. One of them was their love for pro wrestling. And when my dad died, that love died for my mom. But it didn't for me. It actually got stronger. Because I went from a household of wrestling fans to just me as a wrestling fan. Oh, I'm sorry. My mom, I never got my mom back into it. She would always watch. Like, if my Uncle Gary and my Aunt Terry came over and we ordered a pay-per-view, my mom would watch The one I really remember my mom watching was it Bash at the Beach 97 with Dennis Rodman and Hulk Hogan versus Giant and Luger. I'll never forget my mom watching that. That was like the first time my mom watched wrestling, you know, since April of that year after WrestleMania. I just remember my mom watching it, and my mom was starting to get excited, and then my mom stopped getting excited halfway through the show. My mom had to take a break because it hurt. As a kid, I didn't understand why my mom stopped watching it. As an adult, I understand, you know, knowing people that have lost their, you know, significant others, you know, a lot of them, whatever that bond is that kept them together or helped keep them together or, you know, what have you. When that's gone, it's hard to enjoy that thing again. And, you know, I understood that now more than I did then. But, you know, because I remember a few months, like right around that, WCW was coming to Spokane for the first time. Actually, it was a month later. And I begged my mom to take me. My mom bought me tickets, but gave them to my Uncle Gary. Don't get me wrong, I love my Uncle Gary. He was the man in my life after my dad got killed. But to have went to a wrestling show with my mom would have been awesome at that point, you know. But, you know, I went to all my wrestling shows with my Uncle Gary from 97 to 2000 when him and his family and my Aunt Terry moved back to Virginia. You know, my Uncle Gary was a big wrestling fan. Like, he was the first person to teach me how to dub tapes. We would hit every video store in this town and dub every wrestling tape they had. I will never forget my Uncle Gary's wall of dub tapes. And my Uncle Gary was smart about it. Like, he would have Royal Rumble 93 and 94 on one tape, you know, Royal Rumble 91, 92 on one tape, you know. That's when my wrestling fandom really took off. Because that's all I did. I didn't watch nothing but wrestling. I absolutely, as a little kid, ate, breathed, and slept this business. Just as a fan. And more and more as I think about it, I would love to get that feeling back. My fandom completely overhauled after my dad died. I became so immersed with it, you know, to mask my pain, my mental anguish at 7. You know, wrestling was my outlet. I absolutely loved it. I still do. I may not watch it, but I still love this business more than anything else. One of the greatest things to me that has happened in my wrestling fandom was actually when my Uncle Gary and my Aunt Terry moved and WCW came back. It was the first time I had ever gone to a show with my mom, just me and my mom, and my mom enjoyed herself. I will never forget when Kevin Nash came out and got in the ring. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me backtrack a little bit. So when WCW came in 2000, my mom said she would get us tickets, and she did. But when we got there, and my mom kept taking me down the big stairs to the floor, I was kind of taken aback because, you know, in a single parent household in the 90s, you know, couldn't afford floor seats. I was so used to sitting nosebleed for wrestling shows, WCW and WWF. Monday Night Raw, when it came to town in 98, I sat in the nosebleed. WCW came to town in 97, 98, I was in the nosebleed, you know. My mom made sure I got to see it. And truly, that's all that mattered to me, was that I got to see it. But she took me down the stairs, and I just remember thinking to myself, where are we going? Normally our seats are on the wall or up in the nosebleed. My mom decided to get me, for a sixth grade graduation gift, was a third row. It was the closest I've ever been to a show at the time. And it blew my mind that I was that close. And I'll never forget when my mom seen Kevin Nash come out. Now, my mom was always a fan of Diesel and Kevin Nash, but it was the first time I had ever heard my mom utter the words about Kevin Nash. Oh, honey, that man make my putter flutter. It was always a joke from then on between my mom, to the point when WrestleMania 20 was coming around in 2004, and they were doing, like, each month of the magazine had a WrestleMania poster in it of something WrestleMania. Well, one month it was WrestleMania 11. And one half of the one side of the poster was Kevin Nash as Big Daddy Cool. My mom ripped that thing out of my magazine before I even got home. By the time I got home, that poster was already up on her wall. And that Kevin Nash poster was on her wall until the day she died. So, you know, my mom still loved the business, but in her own way. And to me, being a kid, that was the coolest. Growing up, my mom having a wrestling poster on her wall was awesome. Sorry. I took no notes for this podcast. This is just kind of rambling off my head. Like I said, I've had a couple crazy weeks, last couple weeks. I wasn't really able to get a guest. That's why I'm kind of just going over my history. Plus, I tried to listen to the first podcast. That sounded like crap. But back, I got to backtrack again. I apologize. But in 97, when WCW came for the first time, there was one match. That made me go, okay, this is what I want to do, no matter what. And that was Eddie Guerrero versus Dean Malenko. After that match, I really wanted to be a pro wrestler. Those two helped me make that decision that was my dream in life. And I want to thank those two. You know. Fast forward to high school. 2006. You know, when I was like 12, I got into backyard wrestling. There was this little backyard wrestling group here in town. They called themselves SCW, Spokane Championship Wrestling. And at 11 years old, I was, you know, backyard wrestling in a park. You know, some of these guys became friends, lifelong friends, you know. Jimmy Thunder, I see he's a, I've, let's see, Abe Iron Man Jones, Chuck and Briscoe, Wild Rusty Lawson, I remember these guys, and I always will. You know, some of them I still talk to, some of them I see every once in a while. Obviously, Wild Rusty Lawson's my cousin, obviously. I see Abe. I see a couple of them. I know Matt. I'm sorry, homie, I am blanking on your last name at the moment, but he's a listener of the podcast, and he was there too with us. We were kids just beating each other up in Hayes Park. Some good memories. But that didn't last long, you know, being a kid. So a few years later, when I was in high school, me and my buddy Robbie Williams came up with the idea to bring SCW back, you know, the park backyard wrestling. Especially in the neighborhood we went to school in and hung out in, he lived in, and quite a few of our friends lived in, you know, was not the best neighborhood in the city. You know, people doing drugs, parents doing drugs in front of their children and not giving a shit, you know, domestic violence. The neighborhood just wasn't the best neighborhood. And at first it was something for us. And then when we started Spokane Anarchy Wrestling and we started doing shows, we started noticing the neighborhood kids coming and in droves. And, you know, we, being 16, 17, 18 years old, like some of us were, it was kind of a weird thing to find out, you know, a few months in, that talking to these kids that were only like 8, 9, you know, years old, watching us, enjoying themselves, you know, a lot of them had never been to the arena, have ever seen live shows, had never seen real life. I can't qualify it as that, but, you know, quote unquote, real life superheroes in front of their faces. We were far from it, but, you know, to these kids that had nothing but bad stuff at home, you know, surrounding them, whether it was their parents were on drugs, whether abusive situations in the house, or just the, you know, the typical single parent or two parents struggling to make ends meet. Whatever it was, you know, we touched these kids' lives and they would tell us, and that truly helped us keep going. You know, which I would love to do a podcast about Spokane Anarchy Wrestling from the start to the finish and let some of you guys know and help you guys understand why that company meant so much. Well, not really company, but a little organization of people wrestling, you know, meant so much to a bunch of people in this city. But yeah, I started living out my dream, backyard wrestling. You know, we did that for years. You can see quite a bit of the footage, if not all of it, on the man that can polish a turd better than anyone ever, Justin Smith, over at HGPL11 on YouTube. Justin, dear friend of mine, I love that guy. That guy, he can polish it, like I said, he can polish a turd and make it look golden. Like, he did all our videos. He's still doing promotions videos now. Without a Cause, Northwest Pro, he does cage fighting. Please go check out his YouTube page, because that man's a video editing genius. Like, he does such badass work. But he helped us feel like we were somebody special. You know, and with his help and, you know, everybody, all the boys' help, WrestleRave 1, which we were still, you know, doing park wrestling. You had over 250 people show up to a park to watch some backyard wrestling. I mean, that right there made me go, there's something here. But being 17 and stupid, you know, not saying I'm just stupid, and we all know 17-year-olds are just stupid, because, you know, we don't think correctly, we don't do what we should do all the time. You know, it's just that teenager mindset. But we kept going, we kept busting our asses, you know, it faded away for a while, there for a minute, and then we came back, started backyard wrestling even more, and then came up with a really good idea, and to build our own ring. Me and my cousin Jason, we had seen so many different them YouTube how to build a ring videos, and we've seen a few of them, and we kind of modified a couple of them together and made our own modifications. And my cousin Jason, our cousin T-Tuck, our cousin Justin, our buddy John Posey, whose yard it was in, and a few of our work wrestlers at the time, Jackson Bourne, you know, Killer. We, in 6 days, we built a ring for our fans. And that's when it really was like, okay, we can do this. And, we found some people on the other side of the state just starting up. And I mean, some of you guys might know them. Northwest Pro, JD Mason, Chuck Payne, Natural Disaster, Jared Savage, which I just had on the pod. Started seeing these guys' videos pop up on YouTube. And I don't remember how it happened, exactly how the setup and the execution was. But we bought JD's ring from him. And I started a friendship that still stands to this day. JD Mason's been busting his ass in this business for years. And I love that people are just now starting to really notice him. He deserves it. He deserves it. You know, then we started a working relationship with Northwest Pro because JD was going to help professionally train some of us. I am lucky enough to say JD and Chuck Payne were my trainers. I'm very thankful, even though their teachings didn't last long for me. But I'll always be thankful for those two. Getting some of them yarder-tarter ideas out of my head and teaching me what this business was really about. Psychology, footwork. You know, those two, I thank you. I thank you very much. We started working together. And they, with the help of Northwest Pro, Spokane Anarchy Wrestling, actually held their first event, Battle of Washington, in 2015. And that's when we really got into it. We were working hard. This was us living out our dream. And I truly did get to live out my dream. And I've said it once, I'll say it again to everybody I've ever shared a locker room with, shared a car with, just shared some time, picking brains, and just, I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping me live my dream. The only thing that sucked about it was, my mom wasn't around to see it. But I thank you guys so much. So much. You don't even know. From, like I said, Dave Turner, JD Mason, Chuck Payne, you know, Jimmy Flame, you know, all these guys that Adden Reyes, how could I forget Adden? These guys truly helped me while helping them live my dream. And I thank you gentlemen very, very much. I'll always be rooting for all of you guys. You know, I love this business. I don't like what's happening to it now, but that's me. I'm what you would call a Jim Cornette guy. I care for more of the story in the ring, the passion. Quote unquote, trying to get people to throw babies in the air at the end of it. This flip flop and fly AEW new wave. I can't really say AEW because that's just a company, but I can't get into wrestling nowadays. It makes it so hard. Nobody's telling a story. People say they are, but I don't see no comebacks. I don't see. All I see is 15 flips and nobody can beat anybody with them. You know, that's my personal belief. But I am one wrestling fan. I may be a Jim Cornette style guy, but I don't hate on nobody for liking what they like. This is wrestling. It's meant for everybody. You know, I still have my guys. Like, Eddie Kingston's my guy. right now. He's the only one that can make me suspend my disbelief, because Eddie Kingston's the realest son of a bitch in this business right now to me. You know? But my passion and my love for wrestling will never die. That bug's just getting old, we'll say. But, you know, I've met great people in this business. Great people. I'd love to say it's not done, but it's done. 2017, I had to walk away due to the mounting back issues. I didn't go see anything locally for a long, long, long time. Because of the pain of not being able to perform straight up. That's the straight up real answer. I know some people are going to say other things are the reason I didn't show up to local shows. But the pain to sit there and watch and want to do what you've always wanted to do and not be able to just took it out of me. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. You know, but recently, you know, I've had that itch so bad that I just had to go help out in August at Northwest Pro show in Post Falls. I had to. It may have just been setting up the ring and tearing it down, but I had to do something. That itch got too much for me. You know, I love being around the boys. I love the camaraderie. I love the brotherhood. I love it all. This podcast is about it's about us as wrestling fans. You know, I love to hear how people got into it. I love to find out what makes them love this business. This show has helped me a lot to get it off my chest. Some of my thoughts and my feelings about the business. I hope you guys are enjoying it. I know I kind of suck at talking. You know, I have no problem admitting that. That's why I started using the hashtag another shitty wrestling podcast. But that's kind of the charm, because I speak from the heart when it comes to this business. And I hope it comes through. If not, that's fine. But just know it's all coming from my heart, because I love this business more than life itself. Not as much as I love my child, but, you know, it's sick. I just want to thank you guys again for listening. I'm hoping to get some more guests on, but like I said, it's been a couple crazy weeks for me personally. Hoping to get some more, more workers on here to talk, I'd love to get Dave Turner on here. I'd love to get JD Mason on here, Chuck Payne. You know, I'd love to hear from you fans. Hit me up on the Wrestling Fandom Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. I'd love to hear your story. I would. But I'm going to get out of here just because I'm kind of rambling on. And I apologize. But I just wanted to get a podcast out for you guys. It helps me every week to get my thoughts and feelings out. And I hope it helps you guys just to kill an hour of time or so. Especially right now in this crazy world of ours that we live in. It's ridiculous. But I love you guys. Thank you for listening. And have a great week. And I'll be here next Saturday. Peace out and much love.